Good morning, everybody. Hopefully everybody had a wonderful and blessed Christmas week so far, this past week. And everybody enjoy their Christmas time with their family and their friends and the celebration of Christ's birth. I know I did. In the past, that we thought about Christmas when their kids were young and all the celebrating we did. We really enjoyed that. And me and my wife, over the last 4 or 5 years, we've been doing devotional from Advent devotional. That's what we've been doing for our Christmas time. And it really gives you a true heart focus of what Christmas is all about. And I appreciate Greg and the Christmas songs today, because you think about it, is that because of Christmas this past week that we celebrated, we were able to celebrate Christmas every day of our lives if you're a true believer in our hearts. You know, we should be celebrating Christmas every day. And because without the birth of Christ, we wouldn't have, obviously, his salvation, and we wouldn't have God's blessings and grace upon us. So think about this past year. It's like, wow, another year has gone by. Where did it go? It's like so fast, you know. 2018 has come and gone. When you look back at this past year and beyond, what have we accomplished as people? How has life treated you? When you go through life year after year, we are formed from the past. The past has formed us into who we are today. When you look back at your life and all the things that have happened in your life, they formed you into the person that you are here today. All the blessings of life and all the trials of life, they have formed you. I just celebrated my birthday this past week. I have on my paper my age, but I'm not going to tell you because you can guess. I don't know why I put that in there. It's like, who wants to tell everybody their age? You know, it's like, I don't get it. But if I look at my life and everything beyond from this point past, all the things that happened to me have transformed me into the person who I am today. And that same thing has happened to you all as well. You have to think about that. So I have a question for you. Think about it deeply. When you look back at this past year and beyond, what life experience has changed you the most? Think about that. What life experience has changed you the most? I'm nearing retirement age, so I'm getting older. Every day I wake up, I'm nearing retirement age. When I was young, I was pretty simple life. You know, I had gone to school. I just wanted to graduate. I really didn't care about school. The simple things I wanted is I wanted to get married. I wanted to fall in love. I wanted to have children, have grandchildren. And God has blessed me in all those areas of my life. Pretty simple, huh? That's all I wanted when I was in school, when I was younger. But from the point in high school to the point I am now here in life, God has totally changed that thought process. So between the years in high school and years now, God has transformed me into who I am today. Speaking about retirement, when you retire, most people want to be able to retire with financial peace in their life. They see from the time that they're young and invest in some type of 401k or some type of retirement plan, and they invest into it to succeed their goal and accomplish this. But there's one thing that stands in your way when you want to retire. It's called life. Life stands in the way. We all try to be ready, and we all try to save for the day when we can walk away, when we say goodbye to the work and live a comfortable life, traveling, enjoying what God has blessed us with. We all want to be in that place we can retire without a financial burden. But does it really matter? Think about it. Does that really matter? Nowhere in Scripture does it say that they talk about retirement. Nowhere. Nowhere in Scripture talks about that. The only time it talks about retirement is when you die, when you retire. That's all it talks about in Scripture. Looking back at my life, I think what's changed me the most are my relationship that have come. The things that God has put in my life, the relationships that I've had, have changed me the most over the last 23 years of my life than anything else. And those are the most important things to me. We all want to retire, and we will retire someday. So think about that. We all want to retire, and will. Life throws in the obstacles that we might not see coming. For instance, there's a lot of us that have health issues that in the past that can change the way we are and the way we think and the way we feel. A lot of us have problems with addictions that can change who we were before and who we are now. A lot of people make poor decisions with their finances or even poor decisions in life altogether that can change us and change our direction in life. And when we think about finances, our health, poor decisions, addiction problems, think about retirement age and how we want to retire and live life and enjoy life. All that stuff that's in the past that has changed us who we are today has gotten in the way. Yeah, we owe money. We have to live. We have to work. We have to have finances to live. We have to have finances so we can pay the people that we owe our debts to. I understand that. We all need that. We all need to be able to pay our debts. So I'm starting off on retirement, and I'm going to talk about something that's more important than retirement today. It's called spiritual bankruptcy. Why is thinking that in life, the most important thing in life is money? Why is thinking that? We all think that. It's like, oh, I got to get this money. I got to get this. I got to do this so I can buy this and pay this bill or do that. Yeah, money's important. It's important to be able to pay your debt. We all work very hard at the things we do to get the things we want financially. You know, as I think about my family, and I always bring my family into it, but my mom and my dad and my brothers and my sisters, we own a family business, and I look at their life, and I say, yeah, we have a very strong work ethic, and that's what's instilled in me, that strong work ethic. Sometimes it's overly strong. Sometimes I work too much. And why do I work so much? Well, we all work, especially my family, they work to buy things that they want, to get the things that they want. That's the only reason why they work. They love the work to buy things. So financially, that's why they work. That's why they called. And the thing is, I look at my life and compared to my family that I work with, is I have everything I want. I have a loving family. I have a wonderful son and daughter, daughter-in-law. I have son-in-law. I have my in-laws. They're all loving people, God-loving people. I have that. I have all those relationships that are important. But the most important relationship that I have in my life is God. That is the most important relationship that I have. That's the relationship that has changed me the most over the last 23 years of my life. Because if it didn't, I wouldn't be standing here talking to you today. Trust me, I wouldn't be standing here. That is the biggest relationship that's changed me. But why is life so hard? Why do we go through seasons of life, sometimes feeling empty, feeling dry? Why do sometimes we feel that life is too difficult? It may be because we're spiritually bankrupt. Think about it. Spiritual bankruptcy comes when you are not spiritually connected to God and feel separated. When you feel that you're alone in this life and nobody cares. That's spiritual bankruptcy. But you're not. That you're not because of the birth of Christ this past week that we celebrated. We don't have to be. Spiritual bankruptcy comes when you are, you might be withdrawing without depositing. And I'm talking to Christians here. When you are a Christian and you are withdrawing from God all the time, but you're not giving anything back to him, you could be running that account to spiritual bankruptcy. When we overdraft our bank account and come to a place where we cannot pay our debts, we become financially bankrupt. The same thing happens in spirituality. When you're not putting back, giving back to God, if you're not putting back to God what you have drawn from him, you become spiritually bankrupt. What I'm trying to say is that we all have to be financially responsible with our lives to be ready for retirement. We have to be spiritually responsible with our lives to be spiritually ready so we don't have spiritual bankruptcy. That's what I'm trying to say. There are three things I want to talk about this morning in order not to have spiritual bankruptcy. When you think about finances, in order to save and to start a 401k, what do you have to do? You have to open an account. That's the first step we have to do in our spiritual life. We have to become accountable. We have to become accountable. When we go through life, we live like how we want and do the things we want. We want to be our own God. We want to control everything that is around us. This has happened since the beginning of time. Since humanity fell from the garden. We all know the story. We wanted to be like God. I want a scripture verse, Proverbs 21:2 says this. A person may think his own ways are right, but the Lord weighs the heart. So we look at that. We look at where our heart is today. Where is your heart? Where are you spiritually? I'm going to read Genesis 3 again to remind us of what happened back in the garden. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Indeed, you shall not eat from any tree that is in the garden." The woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees in the garden you may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die." The serpent said to the woman, "Surely you will not die, for God knows that in the day that you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Here you got it. That's why we are who we are. That's why we have to be accountable. Adam and Eve wanted to be like God, just like we want to be like God. That sin that Adam and Eve had sinned in the garden of disobedience and gaining the knowledge of good and evil, that sin has been passed down through all generations from the time that God, Adam and Eve were created. That sin is in each and every one of us. We were born with that sin. So we were born wanting to be our own God. When God found them, he cared for them even though they didn't obey him. What did he do? He made them clothing out of animal hides. Just think about this. That was the first blood offering, the first blood sacrifice. He killed an animal, took the hides, and made clothing for them. Every day they put on that clothing, it was a reminder of their sin against him. Humanity has been separated from God since Adam and Eve had disobeyed him in the beginning. The separation is called sin. And we all have it in us. Romans 3:23, we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all have sin. Sin is still present because the flesh is still here. We were born with that. When God opens our eyes with the Holy Spirit, we then can understand that sin is what keeps us from our relationship with him. When our eyes are open, we become accountable to why we have a broken relationship with him. Because we want to be our own guy. We want to do the things we want to do. When the Holy Spirit works in us, I'm glad it worked in me 23 years ago. When the Holy Spirit works in us and opens our eyes, we become accountable to that sin. We know that that is what separates us from that relationship with him. That is the first start of spiritual bankruptcy, to open an account, be accountable for your sin. The second point I want to make today, we all need a balanced transfer. We need to be transformed. When we open a retirement account, we have to transfer funds into that account and continue to transfer these funds monthly in order to be able to retire. It's transformed into what we want it to be so we can retire. If there's no transfer of funds, then we will be retiring in poverty, and we will be retiring working. We will have to work. You won't be able to retire. So how do we have this transaction? How does this come about? Well, it talks about it in John 3 when Jesus talks to Nicodemus. It's called being reborn. We have to have a spiritual birth. We understand that we are born in this life with the same curse that God gave Adam and Eve and they fell in the garden. This curse has been passed down to us. Jesus explained this to Nicodemus in John 3. Anybody remember that? What he talked about? Nicodemus was a religious man. He was a Pharisee. He learned Scripture his whole life. He could not understand what the meaning of reborn meant. This is what Jesus tells Nicodemus. Now, there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, but no one could perform the mighty signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Born again? Nicodemus says, "What are you talking about? Surely they cannot enter the second time into their mother's womb, can they?" And Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh. Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at me saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear it, but you do know where it comes. You do not know where it comes from or where it is going. So it is that same thing with everyone who is born of the Spirit." So that's the first part of the spiritual transformation. The balance transfer happens when you become accountable, and then you accept Christ as your Savior, and you are born again. That's the spiritual transformation. That's the transaction that has to take place. Because if it doesn't, then you're just fooling yourself. Jesus tells Nicodemus later the reason why he came and why it's important to be born again. He said, "God so loved," everyone knows John 3:16, "God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." That's why he came. But preachers and pastors don't tell you about the other two verses, 17 and 18. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." That's 17. Now, 18 is where it gets testy, because this is what Jesus says. "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already." If you don't believe in Jesus, you're already condemned, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son, Jesus Christ. So the transaction has to take place. You have the accountable. You have to open an account. You have to be accountable. You have to have a balanced transfer. You have to have a spiritual transformation. That's being born again. So when we become born again, what happens? When we accept God's Son, what happens? What happens when we accept His Son? Anybody know? When you accept His Son, we receive a helper called the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised this, and His apostles, and to all. He promised this to His apostles and to all who believe. In John 14:26, it says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything that I have said to you." When you are born again, you receive this Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit is what teaches us all the things that we need to know. It reminds us of what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to live. That is part of the spiritual bankruptcy that people have in today. All people, even Christians, have spiritual bankruptcy in their life. Just because you're a believer doesn't mean you don't have spiritual bankruptcy. But the Spirit, when we receive the Spirit, that's what guides our thoughts and our actions and our motives if we allow it to guide us. If the Spirit's guiding us, then we're living according to His will. When we get a job in the workforce, we are offered the ability to invest into our retirement account or 401k. We then have to find a good financial planner, a good advisor for our finances. If you don't, you could waste them, and they might not be invested properly. To help us grow this retirement account, to be transform this retirement account so we can retire. The same way with spiritual transformation. We accept Jesus Christ, receive the Holy Spirit, a spiritual advisor, to help us transform and be sanctified back to Him. Sanctification starts when the balance transfer starts to transfer. When you accept an open account, we become accountable. When we have the balance transfer, we have a transformation spiritually. That's when the sanctification process starts. What does sanctification mean? Oh, I'll get to that in a little bit. And then I can see people thinking this now. Yeah, you being a Christian might say, yeah, I accepted Jesus when I was dot, 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 dot. You fill in the blank. So why do I feel that I'm dry? Why do I feel empty and disconnected? Well, it might be because you're going through some type of spiritual bankruptcy in your life. That brings me to the third point of my talk about spiritual bankruptcy. Third point is that we have to make deposits into our account. We have to spend time with God. In order not to have spiritual bankruptcy, we have to make regular deposits. You might be living a life without depositing into your spiritual account. Think about that. Do you read Scripture? Do you pray? Do you give back to God? Do you live obedient to Him? Think about that. Romans 12:2 is one of my favorite verses. Paul talks to the Romans and tells them in this verse what needs to be done. It says, "Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is in your life, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." When we go through life, we need to feed the Spirit. This only happens when we are in His Word or having quiet time with God. If we're living a life without allowing the Spirit to help us grow, then we are not being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not guiding our thoughts, not guiding our actions, not guiding our heart, not guiding our desires in life. We are. We are not living according to His purpose. What is His purpose? What is the commandment that Jesus gives in Mark 12:30 and 31? The greatest two commandments is love the Lord God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Love thy neighbor as thyself. The two greatest commandments Jesus said in Mark 12:30 and 31. When we accept Christ and are born again by the Holy Spirit, we are sanctified back to Him. We have that relationship that was broken, reestablished. The sin that Adam and Eve had created in their disobedience and that separation from God that happened way back in the garden doesn't have to be anymore. We can reestablish our relationship with Him by opening an account and by having a spiritual transformation, being transformed. That's how we have to be. Being born again, we can recommit to him, reconnect with him, reestablish our relationship with him. If you're not, then you're spiritually bankrupt. You know, it's really funny. Jesus prayed this in the garden right before he was arrested. In John 17, he talks about this. And he prayed this for everybody that's in this room today. This is Jesus praying to the Father. My prayer is not for them alone, talking about the apostles. I pray for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. All of us are united as one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be as one as we are, one. I in them and you in me, and I in you I in me, so that they might be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that they sent me and have loved them, even though you have loved me. That is a prayer Jesus said in the garden right before he was crucified. He wanted that for all of us. He wanted the unity. He wanted us to be back, sanctified back to him and the Father. That's what he wanted. That's what that prayer is about, sanctification. He wanted us to be sanctified back to him. When the Holy Spirit's not fed, what happens? What happens when the Holy Spirit's not fed? Anybody want to give an answer? We feel spiritually dry. How many of you have felt spiritually dry in the past? I know I have. How many you feel abandoned? How many of you feel abandoned in life sometimes? How many feel alone? How many of you want to... There you go. We feel that God is distant and disconnected. When we're spiritually bankrupt, we go through these seasons in life that we feel that he's not present. But he is. The only reason why we don't feel that way is because we're spiritually bankrupt. We're not allowing the Spirit to help sanctify us back to him. The Spirit shows us that we're not living a life of obedience that we should be living. That happens when we're spiritually bankrupt. So what do we do? Paul talks in 2 Corinthians about this. What do you do? He says, 2 Corinthians 2, I'll read it. Second Corinthians 2:13, verses 5. It says, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless you indeed fail the test? Well, if you're a believer and you accepted Christ as your Savior, he's in you. We should be testing ourselves every day. The Holy Spirit should be testing us every day if we're living according to his ways. Unless you fail the test. But I trust that you will realize that we ourselves do not fail the test. Now we pray to God that you do no wrong. Not that we ourselves may appear approved, but that you might do the right thing even though we may appear unapproved. If we can do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth. For we rejoice when we ourselves are weak and you are strong, this we also pray that you may be made complete. The word sanctification, does anybody know what the meaning of that is? Sanctification? The Greek word for sanctification is hagiasmos. It does mean set apart, but the actual true meaning is holiness. When we are feeling spiritually dry and disconnected, feeling separated from God, that spiritual bankruptcy is that the sanctification process has stopped. That's what it is. Even though we are sanctified back to Him, the Holy Spirit that lives in us is not being fed because you're not spending any time with Him. You're not in His Word, not praying. Sanctification process through the Holy Spirit has stopped, even though we're sanctified back to Him. So where are you today? We're starting a new year. Everyone makes New Year's resolutions. Everybody thinks that, you know, the new year's up and we could do this and do that and make all these promises to yourself. So where are you in your life now with the Lord? I know most of us are Christians, but where are you spiritually? The Holy Spirit convicts us when we are not living the life we're supposed to be living. We are to be restored back to Him. You know, we all look at the Old Testament all the time, and we look at David. It says in Scripture, David was a man after my own heart. That's like the Lord talked about David that way, but he was like one of the biggest sinners I know. There's a lot of things that were bad. Murdered, he was a murderer, killed somebody, he was an adulterer, he had a child out of wedlock. I mean, you go on and on and on. But Psalm 51 was read this morning because that's a song of repentance. That's a song that David put towards the Lord to repent of his ways. And I want to read the two verses to you, 51 verses 11 and 12. It says here, "Do not cast me from your presence or take away your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me with joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." Think about that. Are you there? Are you spiritually bankrupt right now? Say this prayer. Say, "Restore me to the joy of your salvation and grant me the willing spirit to sustain me." Say it. When you're in that position of spiritual bankruptcy, there's a lot of things we can do, but there's three main things that we have to do. Actually, four. When the Lord puts on our heart and the Holy Spirit shows us our sin that's keeping us from Him, we have to repent. About face, that's what it means. Turn around, go the other direction. That's what repent is. Second, you have to pray. Ask for forgiveness. Pray to Him. He'll hear you. Third thing we got to do is we got to get reconnected to Him through His Word. If the Word's not present in your life, you might be repenting, you might be praying, but if the Word's not present, then it's not edifying you. The Holy Spirit is not sanctifying you. It's not allowing the Holy Spirit to approve actions, your approved actions. So the Holy Spirit guides your actions if you're in His Word. And then, a lot of things that we don't do is get reconnected to the body. That's the fourth thing. You have to repent, you have to pray, get in His Word, get reconnected with the body of Christ, people. You can't be an island and live life on your own. Live your life with other Christians, other believers. They're here to help you, pray for you, comfort you. That's what the body of Christ is for. Think about your life. Think about your past. Think about this new year coming forth. Think about your spiritual bankruptcy. We all make resolutions. I think the greatest resolution we can make today is to have God restore us back to who He wants us to be. That would be the greatest resolution to have out there. Because I know that's one resolution that will bring joy to your heart. So, Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just thank you so much for this opportunity you've given me to share my heart with your body of Christ, Lord. And I just thank you so much for each and every person here and the message that was brought forth. I just pray, Lord, that if there's any here that are going through a trial in their life or a spiritual trial or feeling disconnected, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would restore them. You would bring them back to yourself. And if there's any here that don't know you, Lord, and don't know who you are, I pray, Lord, that you draw them to you. And they will recognize that your son, Jesus, is the only way. He is the only way to be born again. Have a spiritual rebirth. Through him. Through his love, his grace and mercy, through his death on the cross, through his resurrected body, through his ascension into heaven, he is the only way to have a spiritual rebirth. And Lord, I pray for those that might ask that into their heart today, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you would guide them and Lord, draw them near to somebody that they desire, that you desire for them to be with, a Christian believer. If anyone wants to come to me after the service, I would be glad to talk to them about that. Lord, about their transformation and what needs to take place. But Lord, I just pray, Lord, you continue to draw them to you. And I pray for our church body. It just seems like sometimes that we're in a funk, a spiritual funk, or a spiritual bankruptcy is what I would call it. Sometimes we feel that way in our lives. And Lord, I just pray that you would draw them back to you. I pray, Lord, they would get back reconnected into your word. Prayer, quiet time, repentance. Lord, accountability partner, small group of some sort, Lord. We all need that in our life, Lord, in order to be restored so we don't have spiritual bankruptcy. Lord, I thank you and I love you for this time. Lord, I just pray, Lord, you bless the remainder of our day and bless those who are traveling, Darren, Deborah, the Callaways, the Toynavins. There are a lot of people traveling this past week, Lord, and I just pray, Lord, for safe travel and that safely travel them back home to us, Lord, to the body. And I just pray, Lord, that you would continue to work in them as well, in their lives, that you would restore them as well. Thank you and love you, Lord, for all these things that you have spoken today, Lord. I pray, Lord, blessings upon the remainder of our day. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.